Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining in the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is MC Blair, and this is another edition of To Your Health on a beautiful Saturday morning. I am here with Dr. Lindsay Neal and Dr. Rebecca Downey of Direct Primary Care. How are you guys?
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, hey Mike.
Hey, how are you? Doing well?
Doing great.
Oh, good. That's excellent. That's excellent. And we're going to be talking about coronavirus eventually. We are definitely going to talk about that. I know that's what's on everybody's top of mind, and we will definitely get to it with real experts, which is awesome. But, you know, for folks that didn't, this is the second time that you guys have been here.
And a lot less scary the second time.
Right? Yeah. Exactly, exactly. You're old hands, you know? And I know the last time you hadn't even opened yet. Your grand opening was 2-3 weeks away and all that. And, of course, we wanted to find out how things are going now. But for guests that are listening for the first time, just, you know, kind of briefly go over what is direct primary care or DPC.
So first I want to introduce myself.
Oh, good.
And how about we both take turns? I think we need our own radio show, Mike.
I agree. I think so too.
It's just so much fun. So thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
We had such a blast the last time we were here. We left like just super excited about DPC and just everything. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. So much has happened since then. But my name is Lindsay Neal. I'm a family physician in Charlottesville. I am a triple WHO. I went to UVA for everything, undergrad, med school, family medicine residency at UVA. Out of residency, I started my own practice, taking care of people mostly in nursing homes and assisted living. So I got really an additional board certification in hospice and palliative medicine. I am a hospice physician for one of the local hospices in town, Legacy Hospice. So I have my like little hands in a bunch of different pots. I have a lot of experience with really complicated illness, and I'm just so happy to be to have started Charlottesville Direct Primary Care with Rebecca. We kind of leave our clinic every single day, like, so grateful and happy to be doing what we're doing. We, like, really feel like we're making a difference every day. So, anyway, thank you so much.
That
Rebecca,
is awesome.
Why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit, too?
So, I'm Rebecca Downey, and I am also board certified in family practice. I am from New York originally, and after I finished up my residency in New York City, I moved to Europe and proceeded to practice medicine as a civilian physician for the Army. It is not the direction that I thought my life would go, and it was an honor to take care of the troops and their families. I learned a lot. I went from a huge New York City hospital to being in these remote clinics where I really learned to depend on myself and not necessarily have the use of specialists all the time, which was really scary and really helpful going down the road.
I was going to say, sounds like some great training.
Yes, training by fire.
Ah, right, exactly.
And then I moved back to Charlottesville. This summer will be 4 years ago. And worked at a clinic locally, and then Lindsay and I decided this is what we wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my wife is a patient, and I got to
I can't
you,
say that.
I can. But and I'll tell you, folks, it's an experience like none other. It's not your normal doc. It's not concierge, and they'll get into it in a moment. But it's just... We're totally satisfied, totally happy.
Oh, thanks.
That's all I can say about that without getting into specifics.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can kind of take that as a nice segue into what DPC is.
Okay.
So in like early 2000s, several physicians in the Midwest United States kind of started this new model of care. And it started happening in different places. And, like, you know how things happen. Like, sometimes, like, there's a collective kind of idea that kind of just develops. And it kind of started in early 2000s where people just, like, physicians decided to just go completely outside of insurance and just
kind of go back to old-fashioned medicine.
Yeah, to contract directly with patients so that the patient would pay the physician directly for services instead of using insurance that would pay the physician.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So,
middleman.
Right. So so direct primary care is a clearly defined kind of model, which is a monthly membership based. Mm-hmm. So instead of paying directly to the physician for each individual visit, you would just pay a monthly fee, which would be a smaller amount, to just kind of have to have unlimited access to your doctor.
Well, they get to know you.
Well, yeah. So essentially the whole idea is continuity, and that you would see the same physician, you know, all the time. You would have direct access to them via email, text, phone call, like face-to-face visits. That would all be included in that monthly membership fee. And by keeping that monthly membership fee really small, more people have access to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing I found, too, folks, is that you don't feel like a number.
You're not.
You're actually
no.
a person.
You are a person.
You're a real person.
Yeah.
And, and your thoughts matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not... You know, before I would do some research to a doc, and then I would go in and I'd say, well, you know, I've been reading and I found this and this and this. And all of a sudden, you would see this in their head, like, what do you know? I've been to school forever. You know, I've paid all this money. You don't know anything. And they would talk down to me. And it kind of irked me.
So this model came, it was something that physicians wanted, but also patients needed and
mm-hmm.
wanted. And so, you know,
there were a lot of problems and, you know, in the healthcare as it changed,
yes.
you know, and we talked about this a little bit last time, just what caused those changes, because before there were tons of private doctor practices, and they fell under all different kinds of models. But then you ended up moving into insurance-based models, and you would have to only see doctors that were within their groups, your HMOs, and all that. And so that changed, and I was in residency during that, and that really fundamentally changed just the whole structure of medicine. And now there are so few private doctors. And as that changed and medicine became corporate medicine, healthcare prices skyrocketed. It did not save money. It cost people a lot mm-hmm. of money. And physicians became extremely unhappy. Patients were extremely unhappy. The whole system was not working for anyone.
Mm.
You know, physician and patient satisfaction is quite low in fee-for-service.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And it's really high in direct care.
Absolutely, absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Your Health. I'm MC Blair. I am pleased to be talking to Dr. Rebecca Downey and Dr. Lindsay Neal of Direct Primary Care right here in Charlottesville. Now,
oh, and Mike, we
yes.
want people to call in with questions if they have it.
Right. It's unfortunately.
Oh, no!
We're having technical difficulties,
oh.
and I know you guys posted it online. Folks, we're really, I feel your pain, as one of our great presidents said. I'm really sorry, folks, but we do have some technical difficulties,
okay.
and we won't be able. We'll get a line soon, though.
If they have questions,
work.
As
yes.
they hear us talk about it, they can certainly reach out to us at our on our website, and
yes.
we're happy to answer any questions if they read our website and they feel like they have additional questions.
And what is the website?
www.charlottesvilledirectprimarycare.com.
Charlottesville Direct Primary
Care.
Spell it out. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep,
okay.
And you can also, our main phone number to our clinic is 434-325-5053. You can call us or you can text message us at that number. And if you want to text message us during the show, we can answer your question.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
All right, folks.
On the air.
Absolutely. So get the text ready to go. 434-325-5053 for text. And you guys will be going directly to the docs.
That's right.
How about that?
And actually... anybody who is our patient can also text message us at that number anytime.
And also you have some other platforms that are available for, for the
And we have no staff. So when you message us, you get either me or Dr. Downey. So,
That's cool.
I think it's really cool. And when you come into our clinic, there's no receptionist. Like, you come in and you come right into our appointment with
it's
us.
It's true. We walked in the other day and we hear from the back, be with you in a minute. It was great. It was great. It just, it's so hometownish, which I love. You know, I love that. The whole idea of it, it's just laid back. But the cool thing is that you get the attention you need.
Same day appointments or next day. Like we try to get people in as soon as possible.
Sure.
We are going to, you know, triage and know what's going on with you because you've already messaged us or called us with whatever's going on. So there's a lot of eliminating, like, excessive repeating information because we already know you really well. We already know what's going on. So really, we just need to kind of see you in person. There's longer appointments. I always kind of a little bit kind of let the patients direct me on how long they need sometimes because not everybody wants a 60-minute visit. But that's kind of what our usual is right now is 60 minutes. But some people will say, like, you know what, I only have time for 30 minutes. You know, so, like, which is interesting because in a fee-for-service, regular, traditional insurance practice, you only get, like, 7 minutes with the doctor.
Well, I know. And it just like in the old days where the docs would go to your house, you know, and they would, how's Fluffy? You know, your cat or your dog. I mean, they would know your family.
Yeah. I have patients send me pictures of their kids and their pets. Yeah.
And Rebecca, didn't you, like, help your patient one time at home clean up after their cat or something?
Their dog.
So great.
We wear many hats.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. It's family. And that's the main thing. It's community. It's family together. You feel like you're part of a team.
We are partners in your health.
That's it.
I always say we are. This is relationship-based medicine.
So, how's it going so far? You guys have been open about 6 months now. So how's it get a lot of patients and a lot of interest? And
that is the thing with direct care. You take less patients because, you know, in order to manage the patients you have the way we want to manage them, you're going to have a much smaller panel. So, and it varies from direct care doc to direct care doc. And there's direct care clinics, I believe, now in all 50 states. It's been quite the learning curve, you know, becoming a businesswoman, having to launch something from the ground. Luckily, we had lots of docs who did it before us, so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. And there's a whole community of direct care docs that interact online and at conferences, and they are just terrific people who share their knowledge, share their experience, help you to avoid the pitfalls, help to tell you which direction to go. And so, you know, we opened. Everybody loves our physical space, which is so nice.
It is.
Lindsay has a architecture background, and she's more artsy than I am, and she has a good eye. But I think we've created this really lovely space where people feel like they're not walking into a doctor's office, and that's very, you know, that's a pleasant experience.
It's personal, too.
It's personal, yeah.
Like, we made a big effort to give some of us to the relationship, you know? So when you come in, you see a little bit of me, and then you see a little bit of Dr. Downey. Like, it's a shared relationship. So speaking of kind of numbers and how big the practice is, like, you know, we are about, I would say, A third of our practices. You know, a traditional family medicine practice is going to have somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 patients in their panel. You know, we're going to limit ours to somewhere around 300 each. So, if you want to be in Charlottesville Direct Primary Care, you know, I would say, like, you know, now's the time.
Yeah.
So,
we haven't gone too much into the model, but essentially, with direct primary care, you pay every month And some months I'm not going to see you. And some months, you know, if something happens, I might see you multiple times. Or if you have chronic illnesses, I love to manage, you know, chronic illnesses, especially lifestyle stuff, weight loss, diabetes, you know, mental health issues, all those things, which I think you should be seeing me every month at least. And so I can do that in that this model, and that's really helpful. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'll hear this a lot. I never get sick. You know, I don't really need a doctor. And I'm like, yeah, you never need a doctor till you need a doctor. And then, unfortunately, you're kind of at the mercy of, you know, going to urgent care or the ER or, you know, trying to establish a relationship at a fee-for-service clinic where you may not get in for, you know, for a new patient appointment for 2 months, 3 months. And then you, you know, you have your, you know, 15-minute appointment, and that's it. So, you know, I think for the amount that we charge per month, it is an incredibly great investment in yourself, your health, because we're always there for you.
So for the pricing is for age 21 and under, so children and young adults are $50 a month. And then for 22 to 65, it's $80 a month. And then after 65, it's $100 a month. And then if you're 101 or older or better, it's a dollar a month.
That's what I'm going for.
I know. You're just going to stick around to get that.
Well, you guys got to stay around, too, now, you know.
That's right.
Because that's a few years for me. So.
There's a $95 enrollment fee.
Right.
So just for cost transparency, because that's what we're about. We just want everybody to know exactly what they're getting into. Speaking of transparency, I always tell everyone every time they come in on their first visit, like we kind of go over, you know, what things they should expect to pay for. And we are going to help use our knowledge of the system to reduce out-of-pocket costs for everyone in our practice. I can't tell you how much money we've saved people already.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And people with insurance, because lots of people have insurance, but they have a high deductible. And so if they put through certain things through insurance, that's they're paying a different rate than if they put things through what we call client billing, which we can use for labs, or we can use it to order. I'll give you an example. So a colonoscopy. Really important. Colonoscopies are great.
Yes.
Maybe not fun, but great to do. And recently I had a patient with no insurance, and I was able to look regionally for a cash pay price, and I was able to find one for $900.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might seem a lot, but if you were paying cash pay, or if you were paying through insurance, it's several thousand dollars.
Yeah, I was just going to say five grand.
Several thousand dollars.
Yeah,
you know, the patient was very happy that she could do it at that price point.
Yeah, I believe it.
Another example is when I, last year, I donated a kidney to my husband last year, and so which gave me this opportunity to experience being a patient from a patient standpoint, like the medical system, but also the billing system. And so as part of the workup, you know, they did like a very basic panel of labs, you know, so it was like a basic metabolic panel, a CBC, a urinalysis, and the bill, the explanation of benefits came in, and the total charge for the labs was like $670. And then my insurance, which is a high deductible healthcare plan, paid $500 of that, you know, which is these huge numbers, and which left a copay for me of like $170.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can do that exact same lab panel with these contracted labs that we've contracted with, the local labs, for less than $20.
Oh, my.
Right. So the point that Dr. Downey was saying a second ago was, you know, if we have contracted with companies to reduce the cost for patients. And if you, and even people who have insurance are choosing to not utilize their insurance and just use our contracted lower cost.
Because if you take it from $20 to, what was the number?
$679.
I mean, what is all that in the middle? If we can do it for $20, why was it over $650 more.
No profit there, right?
And speaking of labs, we draw our own blood, so you're going to you don't have to go to separate places. So you come in for your visit. When you're there, we're going to draw your blood. We'll send it off, and we'll just call you with it. It's not like you have to go to us and then go across the street to the lab to get your blood drawn or whatever. We're going to there's cost transparency and efficiency. Like, we want to make going to the physician's office easy for you in many ways.
There you go. So more on that on the other side here. We're going to take a little break. And you are listening to Your Health. I'm talking with Dr. Lindsay Neal and Rebecca Downey of Direct Primary Care. And we will be back in just a moment. And we are back. This is MC Blair. You're listening to Your Health. I am speaking with Dr. Rebecca Downey and Lindsay Neal of Charlottesville Direct Primary Care. And it can be accessed on charlottesvilledirectprimarycare.com. And also, you can text a question, any medical question that you have. They'll be glad to answer it. 434-325-5053 for text messages. And that's for questions. And we're just talking about trying to make it as easy as possible for the patient and really for the doc as well. And the partners in health, I believe you call that. And that's really important. So they get signed up, they get their, let's say they're getting in and they're taking their first visit. What does that entail?
So usually my first visits are an hour and a half.
Okay.
Sometimes they go less, but generally they're an hour and a half. And sometimes I can't even get to the physical part because I really like to take a really comprehensive history on the patient. And so basically we talk and we go through how things work because it's very different for patients than what they're used to. And the fact that when they call that they get us or that we're accessible. We do have, you know, regular business hours. Sometimes I have patients who work certain jobs and just can't get in during regular office hours, and I make accommodations for that. Sometimes I see patients on the weekends, you know, not as a general rule, but if I need to.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I do house calls.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do house calls for newborns. I don't want to bring newborns out, you know, into the community or into a clinic. But they'll basically come into our office. We traditionally it would be called a waiting room, but nobody waits.
We call it the lounge.
It's the lounge.
You can make yourself some herb tea and, you know, and then bring that cup into the office because you're not going to really sit there for very long.
Man.
And so it's basically just establishing a relationship, getting in the history, knowing that they're not going to have to ever pay a copay and that I can see them again, you know, the next day if I need to. It's kind of funny when I look at my schedule, because before when I worked for fee-for-service, I'd look at my schedule and every appointment was booked out weeks in advance.
Yeah.
And now I look at my schedule and the next week, maybe I'll have, you know, 10 patients actually booked in at that time, because patients now have learned, the ones who are with me, that they can call that day or they can get in the next day or that day. And so there's just not that panicked feeling about urgency, or they'll reach out to me on the phone or send me a picture because we have secure text messaging. So I had a patient the other day with a rash, showed me a picture, outlined it, didn't really want to come in. She didn't feel like it was too serious. It didn't look very serious. I gave her some instructions, some things to do. Talked to her the next day. She said it's great. So that's wonderful because she's got kids. She's busy. She doesn't want to have to schlep in. Mm-hmm. But I got to practice medicine. She got to be reassured, and we avoided any problems.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we paid for a software app, like an it's an app, but it's HIPAA compliant encrypted text messaging. Essentially, it's called Spruce.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're a member, we invite you to secure messaging, and you have an app on your phone, and you can just text message us, and it's fabulous.
Wow, that's cool.
People, you can text message us about anything that you might not normally text message, you know, because with Spruce, Verizon, Google, the Russians, nobody can see what we're messaging about.
Well, one thing that I've noticed is, it's really cool. Or have you noticed this? When you get to know a patient and they come in and they're telling you something, because you know them, maybe they're actually telling you something differently than what they're speaking of, and you can kind of question them on that, and then they, yeah, that's right. You know, have you noticed that?
Absolutely. But I also, more often than not, they're actually telling me more truthful stuff that they may be very hesitant
to, you know,
if you're going into a clinic and you're seeing a different doc anytime, every time, or you're rushed and you don't have a relationship, who's going to share the, I mean, going to the doctor is an incredibly intimate experience. You have to be so vulnerable and you have to be trusting. And if that is not there, and if you don't have that mutual respect, you are not going to get to the basis of the issues. You cannot really have a conversation about somebody's lifestyle choices if you're talking to them for 7 minutes and you're just in a rush to get to the next patient.
And I can't tell you how much we care about our patients. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we think about them outside. Yeah. We talk about them. We discuss them together. You know, we reach out to other people when we feel like, hey, you know, I could really use some additional insight, you know, on this topic. Mm-hmm. So I think we really go beyond.
I think it helps the actual interaction with the bigger health system also, because we know people really well and we want the best for them. So like when there's no other person talking to the specialist about my patient, mm-hmm. it's me, you know, mm-hmm. There's not a receptionist or a secretary or a nurse or anyone who's calling the specialist about whatever issue, you know, or even their office. Like, I'm calling and scheduling people's mammograms myself, you know,
right.
So like it eliminates some potential for errors because it's just one person doing the work. You know,
wow.
And medical errors are, as we all know, a huge issue.
Sure.
So
there's one thing that I remember that I want to make sure that we mention is that people can use their health savings account for their membership.
Oh, right. And at work, they got that those dollars, a health dollar. I can't remember exactly what they're called. But you have to use them all.
Yeah. Like,
at the end of the year, you can't carry them over.
Some plans will roll over.
Oh, really? That's good.
But you can use it for our membership.
Oh, that's
so
really cool.
Even though you can't use your insurance to pay for our visits, you can use your health savings account to pay for it.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that is something we should mention, that both Dr. Neal and I are opted out of Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So we have told the government that we will not charge Medicare. So that does not mean, and I want to be very clear, because this is where people get very, very confused. We want you to have insurance. We're glad you have Medicare, all that good stuff. You can use your insurance outside of our practice. You can use it. We can draw your bloods, and we can send it to the lab and charge insurance. If you have insurance which doesn't have a high deductible, or if you have Medicare and it's going to cover it, great. That will get charged to your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If we send you for a procedure or an x-ray or a specialist, you can use your insurance. But for people with really high deductibles who may not benefit from, you know, paying insurance-based prices by using their insurance but not going to finish reaching their deductible, we have other ways to save you money. So just because you have insurance doesn't mean you shouldn't be with direct care.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I have a high deductible health care plan, and when I went to see my PCP last December for just a standard appointment, it was like, you know, $250 that I had to pay for that visit because I hadn't met my deductible yet. And that would actually cover like 2.5 months of unlimited visits.
I was going to say,
So, so I guess what I'm just saying is that, you know, you can pay for almost a year's worth of primary care with Charlottesville Direct Primary Care and never meet your deductible. You know, so it's going to be less than your deductible.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
that's really neat.
The groups, the demographics of people that really benefit from Charlottesville Direct from direct primary care, it's really everyone, but it's people who have no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're going to get something, you know, by coming to us. And then if you have a high deductible health care plan, most employer-based insurances are high deductible health care plans. And most of them, most of the time, like when you go see your primary care doctor, you're going to be paying a copay also, you know, so that's out of your pocket too.
Yeah.
So you end up saving money by coming to us. And then also people who have really great insurance, like if you have Medicare and a secondary, like, and you have really good coverage, a lot of people come to us because they just want better customer service.
Yeah, sure.
They want access and customer service.
And,
so.
And honestly, better health care because we know you.
Well, that's exactly right. I've experienced that, you know, with my wife for sure. And that was the one thing. It's like you when you get to know somebody, you might even they're telling you one thing, and you might have to ask. Well, I've noticed this. But is something else come? You know,
all the time
bothering you. Well, yeah, I didn't want to mention it, right?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. as they always say, you usually learn the truth as the patient's walking out the door.
Yeah.
It's the doc. By the way.
Yeah. One more question. You know, like a good detective or something. You know, just one more question. You know, a little. Who was that? Columbo, I think. You know, I'm dating myself.
Before
the younger
people
don't even know about that one.
Before we move off of insurance, I just do want to mention, because a lot of people also think, oh, direct care is concierge medicine.
Mm, and I just want to. I've heard that, yeah.
So concierge medicine is a whole different ball of wax. Concierge medicine is, they're basically double dipping. So they, you know, you have a lot of the benefits of direct care in terms of they have a smaller panel and you have greater access to your physician, but they are charging your insurance and you also pay a really large payment mm-hmm. to them for that. So it's essentially people who can afford it who are jumping the line in order to, you know, have greater access. So direct care just has a different philosophy, and we really want everyone to have great health care because, you know, health care is a human right. Everyone should have great health care. And so that is the difference between concierge and direct care.
Okay. So concierge is more for people with higher means than most.
Exactly.
Okay. I gotcha.
But you get with direct primary care, you get very close to the same customer service.
Oh, I'm sure.
Service.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I noticed.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely true. Really is. So, you know, I know we're going to be getting on to coronavirus shortly, but I, you know, what, I know. I've got Rx written down here.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be getting pharmacy, right?
Yeah, that is something which is really
that.
Exciting that a lot of direct care docs do. We are in the midst of getting that organized. There's lots of hoops to jump through with the state. And I was just visiting another direct care doctor in Richmond yesterday who was kind enough, thank you, Jill, to show me her pharmacy. And essentially, we are just going to be dispensing non-controlled substances out of our clinic. So if you come in and I have to treat you for strep or for flu or for hypertension or for depression, you don't have to go to the pharmacy. So again, it eliminates another step, and we are able to do it again at significant savings.
Well, just to give my viewers or my listeners an example, I won't mention the medication, but it was going to run around $350 to $400 at the pharmacy, and it looks like it's going to be about $85 at your pharmacy, and I'm going, okay.
That's nice.
I'll take that, you know, all day long, you know, and then, which is a lower cost than if we had the deductible and the insurance as well. So, wow, that's awesome.
The vast majority of medicines that we're going to have are going to be in the dollars range
right.
for a month's supply.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. That's really.
I mean, one of the things Lindsay and I know how to do is work the system.
Yeah.
Because we're both in the system, and so we know how to work the system, and more and more other docs are really interested in becoming a part of this, you know, in terms of even specialists, you know, doing cash pay for a lower price. So, you know, this is a great alternative.
It's a super exciting model.
So yeah.
I think it's really going to be the future of primary care, but we're just on the front end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see that. And, you know, there's three things. What is it? Work the system, game the system, or cook the books. I think you guys are doing I think you're doing
the first one. There's no book cooking.
Right, there's no book cooking, and there's no gaming.
Super ethical.
Yeah, and they don't game the system either. They just use the system to its maximum advantage.
We're just trying to help people keep their out-of-pocket costs low.
So.
And their health. Like maximize.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You guys are listening.
And speaking of health.
To your health. Speaking of your health, okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, in terms of maximizing your health, there's reasons we want to do it now.
Yeah.
So so another thing that we want to mention before we start talking about the elephant in the room, but is that like in the next month or so, we don't have the date yet, but we're going to be doing safe space training through Seaville Pride.
Mm.
So we just want to make sure that everybody knows that everyone is welcome, that this is not for just rich people. This is not for a certain demographic of people. This is like across the board, accessible for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we respect everyone, and we are very open-minded, and we love everyone. So like we just want everyone to feel like they can get great care from us. Who wants it?
That is great. And that's what you're listening to Your Health right here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I guess we're talking about progressive health here, you know, doing things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not politicizing anything, folks. You won't get any rants or any of that sort of thing when you're there.
The thing is also is that, like, direct primary care is it has been something that Republican, conservative-minded people have always supported,
mm-hmm.
but we feel really strongly that it's a bipartisan model.
It's like, true community.
Yeah, like
absolutely.
This is just improves access to
everybody's
to
a winner.
Good care.
Yeah. Win-win-win. Absolutely.
So there is kind of a political aspect to it. So like if you Google direct primary care, you'll see a lot of conservative media about it because they just have like recognized earlier on.
It's kind of more libertarian type of.
But it's for everyone, really.
Yeah.
It's for everyone.
okay. You mentioned libertarian. Okay. that's really cool. Hey, we're going to take a little break real quick, and we will be back on the other side, and we're going to talk about coronavirus prevention and treatment and all that, and then some other things that maybe aren't covered on the news, because that's what you get here on To Your Health, the real deal. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, we're back. I'm MC Blair. I'm speaking with Charlottesville Direct Primary Care Physicians, Dr. Rebecca Downey and Dr. Lindsay Neal. And we're going to talk the next 20 minutes about coronavirus prevention, you know, all sorts of. We've got some things on herbal antivirals and all sorts of things that that are important to us, especially now. And the last figures I got were 98,000 cases globally, 80,000 of those in China, and in 88 countries, and I'm sure it's more now. Is that, do you have any?
So it's definitely spreading, you know, by the second, we're testing more. So those numbers are probably, if you got those at the end of the day yesterday, I mean, it's much more now.
Sure, and I've noticed so it.
Single day when I open up my, my Google, like there's new news.
Well, so I've also heard that some people carry it for 5 days, 7 days, 2 weeks.
We don't know.
Before they're symptomatic.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why this particular virus is really scary, mm-hmm. is that, like, for example, the first SARS virus, people, when they got the virus, they got really sick. So it was really easy to, like, identify who had the where the virus actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Where this virus is different because there's a lot of people, even who have been tested positive, who will always be asymptomatic and never have any symptoms, like regardless, like from the whole time that they're shedding virus. So you have people who are completely asymptomatic. You have people with a very mild version of the illness. Then you have people with a pneumonia, which is a more severe version of the virus. Then you have people who have pneumonia and require intubation and mechanical ventilation. And then you have the people who have pneumonia, mechanical ventilation, who don't survive.
Mm.
So you have really so many people
it's
going to be really hard to. And so the numbers are really hard to believe because, you know, we have all of these people identified, you know, but we don't have all of the people at the other end of the spectrum who are asymptomatic and don't have symptoms. We don't have them, you know, counted in the numbers. So the case fatality rates are probably skewed at this point because we just don't know. Everything has been based on China.
Yeah. So you could actually have somebody that let's say they have a, you know, pretty strong immune system, whatever, but they still have, you know, the virus on them, spreading the disease without knowing it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And unless they're tested. If they're tested, then obviously they can
mitigate
them
it some.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like, it's not like you've got a nexus, you know, a single nexus. It's a plurality. Everyone.
Well, that was another part that was really scary in the last week was that they analyzed the two DNA SARS-CoV-2 viruses in two people who were positive in Washington State, and they found that it was enough mutated that they could predict that the virus had actually been in the community for over 6 weeks, and nobody knew.
Right.
So at this point, it's not if, but when we all get exposed.
Yeah.
I think there was some numbers, an epidemiologist that I read yesterday that said that somewhere between 30 and 70% of people are going to get the virus. And then, he backed it down and said maybe somewhere between 20 and 60%. But, it's not if, but when we actually get the coronavirus. You are going to get it. I'm going to get it. Rebecca's going to get it. We are on the front lines. We're much more at risk as well. So there's a very good chance we're going to get it. And that's the part that's so scary is that people are going to be on quarantine. The staffing and every hospital or every business is going to be affected.
Be very taxed. Yeah.
So we just, you know, it's not if, but when. It's not going to be the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
We're going to make it through this.
Sure.
This great friend of mine wrote something on his Facebook was, you know, this is kind of like 9/11. We're going to know there's going to be a before life and an after, you know, so.
So we are going to get through it, obviously. Eventually, right?
Yeah, and it's going to depend on a vaccine being developed. I think that things aren't going to go away.
And this is going to be around for a while. It's,
Well, the thing that I won't say scares me, but it certainly concerns me, is if they fast-track a vaccine and get it out into the public prior to the exhaustive testing that it should have. Is that... I mean, I guess that...
I think that, personally, I think that the science of vaccines, I think that we can trust what many, 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 many years of production of vaccines is going to, help us to actually get a vaccine for this quickly.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, good. That's excellent. Hopefully mercury-free.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, it will be.
I noticed that. So what, I mean... You know, I know if I've been hearing if you have a strong immune system that it'll be more like you got a cold or you had the flu for 5 days or something like that. Is that, is there
it
some...
always helps to have to be in optimal health, right?
Sure.
But then there's, people who eat well and don't smoke and, don't over-imbibe but have underlying health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes health is a crapshoot. And so, I would urge people, besides the regular precautions of hand washing, learning not to, to eliminate, touching your face, to not shaking hands. This is a great time to adopt the Asian version of the
Japanese,
little bow,
the tie,
whatever.
The same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do not need to be touching everybody right now. But, as this comes in the next few months, sleep, healthy eating, decreasing stress, trying to eliminate as much as possible things like sugar. Those are really important. Those are foundational. If you want to get through anything and if you want to help avoid illness, that is what you want to do. So those things are really, really key. Eating junk food, eating processed food, drinking soda, sitting around on the couch all day, being really stressed. These are not great ways to go into any illness or to live life.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of herbal antivirals that people can take. And as Dr. Neal and I were talking earlier, and as she said, and I've had experience with this. Western medicine is definitely has a play. I mean, a big place in overall health, and so it's the whole body. It's also all the parts. You've got herbs, you've got, you know, diet, you have certain medications that are helpful as long as you don't overdo them. Of course, our factory food system, unfortunately, there are 12 antibiotics that are approved for raising chickens and beef and all the meats and whatnot. And so if you're ingesting all those antibiotics and then you need an antibiotic, you might be up against the wall with that one because it's not going to work.
Eat organic meat.
Yes, exactly.
Eat less meat and buy organic meat.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I like, you know, the local pastured pork and poultry, grass-fed beef.
Support your local economy. We've got lots of great farmers here.
They really do. And as far as the herbs go, we have Rebecca's Natural Food. They are medicines.
Yeah.
And get down to Rebecca's. Those guys do their homework, no doubt. They really do.
Yeah, there are many herbs and foods that have, and there's a fair amount of research on them that are antiviral, have antiviral properties. Just for an example, like a really well-known one with great studies is garlic and ginger. So that is all true. We have no idea if it helps for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We have no idea. So there's no studies on that. But if you're just looking at, in general, foods that are antiviral, you can easily Google that. There are a number of, and, you know, I'm not going to speak to whether, you know, the research proves that that's true or not. You know, you can Google them and certain ones will come up again and again. For most people, it's certainly not going to cause any harm. And they're healthy foods to eat. So, you know, garlic, fennel, onions, ginger, licorice, oregano. So there are things we eat. And if you cook your own food, which you should be doing.
And you should be doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now.
You know, just throw them in there.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, you know, they make supplements, you know, the pill form of all these herbs. And I'm not knocking the supplements. There are some that are just really high quality, no doubt. But things like oregano, get the plant, eat it.
Yeah,
always. You can just eat it, you know?
Because no supplements are regulated.
Yeah.
And I always tell patients this. There are totally reputable companies that I trust. There are way more companies that I would not trust.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be so careful when you're buying supplements. We should really be eating our way to health, not swallowing pills to health.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the other thing is when you do get the absolute, you know, like oregano, you got oregano and you eat it, you're getting the whole matrix. They're not just plucking
It hasn't gone through a factory.
Carvacrol, I think, the active ingredient in oregano. And you're not... They don't just pluck that out and put it into a supplement. You're getting the whole matrix, which is very important.
And people should know, like, herbs like that are so easy to grow at home in pots in your window. I mean, you can have them all year round fresh. It's not going to cost you much, you know. You can chew on, you know, lots of different leaves, and they're good.
Elderberry.
Yeah.
So make elderberry wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many antiviral properties are there once it turns into wine, but
true.
You know, it tastes good, I guess, you know. But they just have all licorice. I think you mentioned that before. What is that? Terpenoids? Is that it? Triterpenoids, that's it, yes. And that's licorice, and it's, you know, all sorts of cool things about that. But once, you know, somebody comes down and they start showing symptoms, that's, I think, when you get into the more high-test, you know, therapies.
You mean speaking of coronavirus specifically?
Yes, specifically.
Well, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do. I mean, we're going to treat you a lot like... if you had the flu, you know, we're not, you know, a lot of it is going to be just kind of symptom management. A lot of one of the important things is that even if you start to have symptoms or you have a known exposure to someone who has coronavirus and you call us ahead of time to let us know that you're having symptoms, we may be able to manage you over the phone. And then we can reduce exposures. But the we're going to be watching you really closely the second week of illness, because what they've shown is that people can have mild symptoms the first 7 days of the illness, and then in the second week is when they start to get really sick. So if you have cough or fever, we're going to be managing you symptomatically, and then we're going to be watching really closely if you develop shortness of breath and worsening.
And those are the two, the shortness of breath, because I know it definitely goes into the pulmonary.
Yes, that causes a
pneumonia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were mentioning earlier about, you know, people needing to be intubated.
Oh,
and I said, is that like albuterol, you know, breathing treatment? And said, no, that's the tube down the throat, you know, some heavy duty stuff. But the number of beds.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why I think a lot of the fear has developed with coronavirus is that a big percentage, big meaning 10% maybe, of people who develop coronavirus are going to need some sort of critical illness support to get through until recovery. There's a large portion of people who are going to need ICU or ventilator, meaning that you're going to have a machine breathe for them, at least for a brief time, before they recover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part that, for me, I'm just kind of hoping that our hospitals are really getting prepared, because we're going to be really utilizing those ICUs over the next few months.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're able to mitigate and decrease some of the development of people with coronavirus. So hopefully it'll, like Dr. Downey and I were just saying, is that earlier was that, like, hopefully over time, like, you know, one area will have an outbreak and then another area. And so, like, everybody's not all in it at the same time. So that's why we have to really work on quarantine, which is, I think everyone should be preparing some for quarantine, just preparing to, like, work from home for a few weeks, you know.
Make sure you have, if you're on medications, make sure you have, a 90-day supply would be great, but definitely have a month's supply on hand, because, you know, first of all, you don't want to be going to the pharmacy if you're sick, because other people are at the pharmacy who are sick, unless you're at our clinic, and then
we'll
just hand it to you.
Another thing is masks. Like, everybody's freaking out about getting masks, and one thing to say is, like, you don't need a mask. What's more important probably is for you to have a thermometer that works at home. So when you're on quarantine, like when we're managing you remotely over the phone and via telemedicine, we're going to be wanting you to check your temperature at home. So, and you're not going to want to, you're not going to be able to go to the pharmacy once you are positive and you're on quarantine, you know. And there's lots of recommendations, and when people start to get sick, you know, call me, because I can help you with, like, how to actually live with quarantine. And that goes back to the direct primary care. I always tell people all the time, is like, I am going to be your partner with this chronic illness. I'm going to help take what the specialist recommends about whatever and incorporate it into your day-to-day life. And so if and when you end up on quarantine, share that with us, so that we can help you through that process. There's a lot of recommendations on, like, if one person in the family is being quarantined but the other ones aren't. So there's some things to recommend in that case too.
Man, that could be kind of tricky.
Yeah, so you're supposed to, if one person has coronavirus, you're supposed to, like, kind of stay in one room and one bedroom, one bathroom, and not expose the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to kind of, you know, be wiping surfaces down, because that's the one of the things too that I think is starting to come out right now, is that it's being, if you stay, like, around 6 feet away from people, you're going to reduce your exposure. But there's a lot of virus on surfaces. And so they're really, like, one of the things that's starting to come out is, like, really making sure you're cleaning surfaces.
So we don't know how long it survives on a surface, do we?
So there's been a lot of different estimates. I was hearing, like, 2 weeks ago, it was like something like, you know, 9 days. But recently that it's come down, but they're still recommending lots of cleaning surfaces.
Well, I heard one doc say that alcohol, like the standard...
rubbing alcohol works.
You know, rubbing alcohol works. She was saying bleach is the main thing because the alcohol in the hand sanitizers will not kill the coronavirus.
Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will.
It will.
Yes.
Oh, so
you just need just check your hand sanitizer and make sure it has somewhere between over 60% alcohol in it. As long as it's over 60% alcohol, you're good.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. 120 proof. Cool.
So you can just buy rubbing alcohol from the pharmacy.
Right.
It's probably not sold out yet.
Yeah, because actually, from what I'm hearing, hand sanitizer in Charlottesville is a hard thing to come by right now.
My wife went, and it was sold out.
The bleach isn't sold out yet. I noticed it at the store yesterday. There's lots of bleach. So
10%
Clorox
solution,
wipes.
10% solution on the bleach, which is a lot more than just the standard sanitizer disinfectant, which is one cap full a gallon. But 10% solution for the on the bleach. And I'm seeing that maybe once a day you could probably dip your hands in the solution.
It sounds so ominous, and most people are going to be fine.
Sure.
And, you know, just to reassure the audience, at least for the younger population, really kids and young healthy adults are not struggling with this.
But they're vectors.
But they are vectors.
I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, the people who are going to be the ones who are struggling with it are people who are, you know, elderly and have medical problems. Mm-hmm. So if you are healthy and less than, what is it, 55, are they saying, or 65?
So the fatality rate increases with age. So below 20, it's pretty low. But with each demographic of 10 years, it goes up a certain amount. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, my. So you could, oh, gosh. Because I was going to say last week I had a low-grade fever for a day. And, of course, I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Mike, you know, if you gave me coronavirus, I'm going to be very unhappy. But I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be on the intubator. Like, oh, what happened? But, I mean, could you actually have, like, symptoms and then get over them and then they come back?
Well, like I said, it's the second week.
Okay. So this is my fearful week. Nothing to fear, folks. I heard the other day, a life lived in fear is a life half lived.
Exactly.
So
we have to prepare, but we also have to live.
Just be prepared, exactly.
And just take common sense precautions.
There you go.
And
that's it.
Take care of your basic building blocks of your health, and you will most likely be fine.
There you go.
And if you have questions, give us a call.
There you go. That's it.
And make sure you have a doctor.
Yes.
Because you don't want to not have a doctor when you get sick.
CharlottesvilleDirectPrimaryCare.com. Yep, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike, so much.
And Dr. Rebecca Downey of CharlottesvilleDirectPrimaryCare.com.
Till next time.
Till next time.
You've been listening to Your Health with your host, MC Blair. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on Downtown Mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barrackford Shopping Center. Be listening again next Saturday morning at 11 for To Your Health.